Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is According to Callus. And it's been a rough week down in Texas here, let me tell you. But I'm going to set that all aside. In fact, I'm going to probably do a back-to-back show today. But first and foremost, I would be remiss if I did not set aside at least one episode of my show to recollect and talk about the passing of what I think is the titan of talk radio and probably the most instrumental person in my life outside of, you know, family or close friends. And that is none other than the Doctor of Democracy. Now, to be fair, when Rush showed up on WISN in Milwaukee Radio, I really didn't know what he was or who he was. And I just remember the Clarence Thomas hearings, and that was the intro to the Rush Limbaugh show. And for roughly 20 years, I tuned in as much as I possibly could. And it wasn't so much that I heard what I wanted to hear, but what I heard was both entertaining, reaffirming, and quite frankly, just good radio. The only other radio titan that comes anywhere near, in my worldview, as far as how great they were, would be Paul Harvey. If you missed Paul Harvey, you couldn't show up tomorrow and make up for what you missed. Whereas Rush Limbaugh, if you missed one show, you could jump back in the next day and you'd at least be able to catch up with what's been going on. Because it was like a continuing saga, whereas Paul Harvey did the news and you had 15 minutes. Boy, if you missed it, you missed a lot. So they were two entirely different formats, but boy. So my intro segment's over. I'm going to transition now to audio only. So please join me on the podcast. So, you know, to be honest, Rush has been all over the map for me in the last probably 10 or 15 years. But for a solid 20 years almost, I was a very devoted listener. And I say that because he was just good radio. It was just so much fun to listen to him. No matter how bad it got, he was always there laughing, poking fun. And whether even I agreed 100% or not, that was not the point. The point was, is I would think, I would adapt what I already knew or what I already thought and synthesize whatever new information there may or may not be or different point of view, but certainly just so entertaining. And I can't think of anything else that I had devoted so much time in, you know, transformational part of my life from probably my really late teens to probably 30 or pushing 40, actually. And that's just a testament to anytime I picked up and he was on, he was almost always in a good mood, always poking fun, and always, always being aggressive on going after something. And if you let the opinion color your ability to enjoy the entertainment, I can't help you. If you hate Rush, I can't help you. He was not without his faults, and we'll kind of touch base on some of those in a minute. But I will say, you know, he had a whole slew of quotes and different things he'd done over the years that were very, very funny. One of the things that I always, you know, I'm looking back over some of his quotes, and there were just so many, you know, funny things he came up with. But one of the things that even Rush Limbaugh put on the radio that, you know, now is looked upon as just a terrible thing, I can't believe somebody would say that, is, you know why there's a Second Amendment? In case the government fails to follow the first one. Now, I don't even remember when he quoted that. I mean, I'm sure I heard it. And over the years, he said so many things. So I could very easily see how I don't remember that. And that's one of the things that I've said, not even quoting him, because quite frankly, he said so many things, who would know? But just the guy became a cultural phenomenon, right? He was always there. His show was just a mainstay. And, you know, it's a shame that the guy really, truly went way off track there at some point. So where I jumped in would have been probably the very early 90s. I honestly don't remember when he came to WISN in Milwaukee. I moved down to Texas, and oh, of course, he was here on the blowtorch of WBAP. And, you know, it was Rush Limbaugh that brought me to love talk radio. And quite frankly, he redefined a format. I mean, there was Larry King, there was Bruce Williams, there was a couple other guys that would do talk shows, mostly at night. And then, doggone, I can't think of the guy that was on late nights. I would listen to him on an even occasion. I just enjoyed the talk radio format. I mean, without Rush Limbaugh, and you know, you might hate these guys. I don't. I like some more than others, and some I've just kind of grown past. But, I mean, you would have no Sean Hannity. You would have no Mark Levin. You probably wouldn't have, well, any of the local talk radio people, really. I mean, the only person that I can think of that was around about that same time period would be Mark Belling, my hometown radio guy, which, by the way, was one of my favorite guest hosts. Of course, I might have been a little biased for the hometown guy. Other than him would be Walter Williams. I just loved Walter Williams on there. He'd tear it up. But, you know, or Glenn Beck for that matter. Or, you know, just there's so many things that would have never happened. And most of the 90s, politics followed the Clintons and Rush Limbaugh. The yin and the yang, if you will. Unfortunately, you know, at some point, some say he sold out, some say he took a ticket, some say he was corrupted. He gave the free pass to Bush Sr., and then again, he totally bought it hook, line, and sinker for George W. Now, at that point, you know, I started to diverge. I wasn't getting it, but you know, I still was in, still listened. It was very enjoyable. But I got to be honest, where he lost me, it's like he went silent. Here we got the embodiment of Mr. Constitution, Mr. Small Government running for president. And Limbaugh could barely even mention his name. And that name is none other than Dr. Ron Paul. That was kind of like, all right, man, I love you. Your show's great. But, you know, here it's, I think it was probably the 2008 run. It might have been the 2012 run. At that point, I was just like, I'm done. Man, you can't even do this. You couldn't do that. Just bring that. Now, you know, you could nitpick some of the various things. I mean, Limbaugh thought his job was to educate, right? And to that end, he did a good job of it. But he never really moved to action. He never really pushed anybody to do anything. Yeah, well, I was entertained and I was educated for, you know, close to 20 years. But at a certain point, I wanted more. I needed to do more. And he really didn't offer that opportunity. Now, I'm not saying that's all on him, because quite frankly, I found a way around that. I found other things to do. I got involved with other things. And maybe that was kind of the whole point, right? I'm going to take you to a point and you, listener, need to go do the rest on your own. So I don't fault the guy for that. I just kind of wish he would have admonished people a little more often to get off their tushies. The show's over. Get to work. Just my two cents. I won't get into the fact that the guy never had any kids, or he had four wives, or he made the trip down to the Dominican that still raises eyebrows. I mean, those are all kind of sketchy things in my world. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what the details are. But that's kind of like the guy that's supposed to be the icon on the right, that's all about faith and family and freedom, clearly has issues with being faithful to family. I'm just saying. Now, I'm not going to besmirch the guy, because I didn't know him. I never met him. I don't pretend to know him. I know nothing about him other than whatever's, you know, posted in the media or online. So as far as the show goes, it was fantastic. As far as he goes as a person, I'm sure he's probably a lot of fun to be around. But to what standard do you get to hold the guy? I mean, he's a public figure, right? So you have a certain expectation of who they are or what they should be. But is it fair to hold them to the high standard? Well, yes and no. he made a lot of his bones on holding people to a standard that apparently he himself couldn't even hold to. Yeah, we call that hypocrites, and we understand that everybody's human, everybody fails, everybody's flawed. Everybody is a hypocrite in some way, shape, or form. Eventually, everybody's hypocritical about everything because we're fallen, we're human. That's part of our nature. It's what you do when you fall or when you fail. Now, about the time that I checked out from being a regular listener, you know, he had been through a number of things. And I always remembered that I was disappointed to hear he went deaf. You know, I was disappointed to hear various trials and tribulations that he was going through. But I never once worried about the show was going to stink or anything like that, right? I was detached. I enjoyed the show for what it was. I enjoyed the person for what he was. But the reality is I almost began to wonder if he was more of a character, if there wasn't more of a performance. I know he sold it early on. Is this just me being just me? But when you're on 600 stations and you're worth hundreds of millions of dollars, at what point do you quit being just you? At what point did you have to give a little to get a little? At what point do you sell yourself out? I don't know where that point is. I don't want to level an accusation. I will just say that it looks kind of sketchy. And again, we wouldn't have the radio format that we have. We wouldn't have had 30 great years of talk radio, really, whether it was him or just somebody else. I mean, Lord knows the left tried to put their own people up. I mean, even the militant moderate. There used to be a guy on the radio that went by the moniker, the militant moderate. And his show was not bad. I mean, I enjoyed it. And, you know, we have some local hosts now that probably wouldn't exist but for Rush Limbaugh. So I'm not going to, you know, tarnish the guy's grave. I mean, he accomplished a lot. I think quite highly of his accomplishments. And honestly, I really and truly hope he made peace with Jesus and that he was his savior. I would like at some point get to heaven when I'm taking a momentary break from praising my creator God to say, hey, that's Rush. Good to meet you, sir. Let me tell you, you brought me countless hours of entertainment and enjoyment. You made the Clinton regime tolerable. The guy did a lot of great stuff, but he also did a lot of bad stuff. The reality is, he's just a man, just a human, just like the rest of us, right? Some of us do good things, some of us do more good things than bad things, but at the end, I think he maybe realized he needed a savior. I know I needed a savior. I can't judge the man too harshly because I don't know him. Those people that I do know, yeah, I probably do judge you. And you know why? It's called discernment. You want to hold people that you know and that you spend your time with and you invest in to a standard. And you need to do it to yourself. And you expect your friends to do that for you and to you. So I deviated from the entire format of my show just so I could show respect to the great man of radio. You know, but in the last couple of weeks, I mean, we lost Larry King. We lost Alex Trebek. I mean, I can tell you the number of times that I watched Jeopardy or I was listening to Larry King live or watched him when he was still on CNN. I mean, I knew their private lives were a mess to some degree because of what was put in the tabloids, just like Limbaugh. But I enjoyed them for what they were and what they brought to the TV or what they brought on the radio. And most of the time it was just plain good. You have to take the good and the bad, I guess, right? I really think we got some quality stuff out of all three of those guys. I mean, if you want to go further back, I mean, like, do you even touch the fact that Ravi turned out to be a slime ball? All those thousands of people he brought to Christ, how many are now questioning it because of what he did? I don't know. But that's really, really disconcerting. The fact is that people knew and covered it up. That's even more disgusting. And then, you know, we lost Carmen. Now, for those of you who don't know, he was a pretty famous Christian singer. He did all sorts of different genres and forms of music. It was quite entertaining. Very, very showman. Great, great stuff whenever I got to listen to him. I have a few of his CDs or downloads, right? I might not be your cup of tea, but he was fantastic. You know, he's gone home to the Lord. don't know anything about his private life, and honestly, kind of like it that way. I don't want to know. It might ruin something. You know, you go back a little further before my enforced hiatus with COVID and stuff. I mean, we had lost the original James Bond, Sean Connery. From what I gather, that guy was quite the jerk in real life. But man, I sure liked almost every movie I ever saw him in. And boy, he gave me some good entertainment as James Bond. But again, they're just human. They're people. We can't put people up on a pedestal and expect them to stay on there. They all fail. Me too. It's part of being human. I enjoy it for what it is. I mean, the fact of the matter is, we're all here for an appointed period of time. And what we do while we're here is what matters. And when we die, we all get to go face our maker. And we're going to be judged according to what we did or what we didn't do. And what we stood for and what we proclaimed. And, you know, all those guys that were obviously far more successful or well-known than I will ever be. And that's okay. I don't necessarily aspire to be that. But they're going to be judged. And those that were given more are going to be judged more harshly or face a stiffer judgment, I guess. I don't know how to, maybe I don't, not saying it the right way, but when more is given, more is required, right? So I look at what those guys had and what I got, and I'm like, well, I got it easy. But then the reality strikes me that I actually have it quite good compared to a lot of other people. I mean, maybe I didn't get the career path I wanted. Maybe I didn't make $1 million in my life. Maybe, you know, I didn't get the lake house, whatever. But I still have it pretty good, right? And, you know, that's part of being joyful. And I find it a challenge for me personally to stay joyful. And you might ask, how do I bring that up? And this is exactly why. Because every time I tuned into Rush Limbaugh's show, he came across as joyful. And when I would listen to his show, I very rarely got angry. I might have got spun up about something or another, but I was usually laughing and enjoying it. And there's something to be said for bringing joy and laughter and the ability to look at terrible things and be positive about it. There's something to be said for that. And if I accomplish nothing with these podcasts, if I go nowhere with them, just the fact that I got to make 15 or 20 episodes, got to just kind of put a little bit of my sleeve in it, if you will, got to throw some stuff out there, and maybe I get some feedback, maybe I don't, maybe I make a difference, maybe I don't, but I get to make my stand, you know? So if the worst thing in the world happens and that, you know, we all get to experience the Antichrist and they go to do a little bit of a background check at Stephen Callis, they're going to see, oh, he's a professing Christian. Oh, he is libertarian leaning. Oh, he values freedom and liberty. Enemy of the state, he must go. I would be all right with that. You know why? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to proclaim Christ is risen. I'm supposed to proclaim liberty to the land. I'd like to think I do that. I'd like to think that I encourage those around me. I would like to think that while I'm encouraging them, I'm exhorting them to get off their tushies and get to work. Now, we all can say we know who wins in the end. We all know we're going to face our eternal judgment. We know what that is and where that's going to be. The question is what are you going to do between then and now? Another podcast I listen to all the time talks about it as your dash, right? Your dash is that space between your birth date or your birth year and your death date or death year. The dash. What are you going to do with your dash? And that's a question that we all should be asking ourselves. What did we do with what we were giving? What did we do with the opportunities that were presented before us? Now, I've seized some opportunities and I've used some opportunities. I hope I did the best I could with them. I put the valid efforts into them. I took the leap of faith. A couple times I've fallen on my face. A couple times I didn't quite make it. And a couple times I was successful at what I wanted to do. All I can tell you is that I believe, regardless of anything else, for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, you got the best show you were going to get from Rush Limbaugh. And if he failed at everything else he did in his life, that's still something. That's still more than what the vast majority of us can say. Now, is that a fair judgment? I don't know. Again, there are so many faults and failures on his part, but he leaves a legacy. Now, what will they do to steward it? What will they do to utilize it? I don't know. But what I do know is I'm not Rush. I'm not going to be Rush. I'm going to be Steven. And as Steven, I've planted my flag, so to speak. I've taken my ground, and I'm going to hold it. And I'm going to do the best job I can. I'm going to call spades spades. I'm going to call strikes strikes. I'm going to devote myself to speaking the truth to power anytime I can. Now, there's some battles that I can't fight, or quite frankly, aren't worth the effort of the fight. But every other battle that I get involved in, I will go down one way or the other as the winner or the loser. Very rarely will anybody be able to say, well, where did he stand on this or what did he think about this? Because if you ask, I'm going to tell you. If it comes to a vote, I'm going to tell you. If it comes down to the difference between right and wrong, there should never be a question that I'm going to go the way that I think is right. And if you're curious how to figure out how to do that, well, that's actually the whole premise of this podcast, so that you can understand how you can come to the conclusions that I come to, how you can defend liberty, how you can promote freedom, how you can stand and do the right thing, how you can, I guess, quite frankly, just be a good Christian, right? Now, everybody can say what they want and define that as they want, but how I define it is quite simple. My Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. I know when I go into the grave, it's going to be my body. And then I'm going to go face my Maker, Yahweh is how the Old Testament refers to him. And I'm going to be judged. But I believe my name's written down in that Lamb's Book of Life. So no matter what stupid thing I did from the time I was born to the time I die, that gets washed away. And that gives me a whole lot of peace. I don't sweat dying. I don't sweat leaving before I think it's my time, because my time's been appointed. So if you get nothing else, it's I'm going to do what I think is the best thing to do for my family, and I'm going to do the right thing. And almost every time, those are going to be the same things. Sometimes I take it on the nose, and I don't recommend it, but it's the right thing, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to exhort you to do the same. That is the function of my podcast, because it is, after all, according to Callus. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. This was my ode to Limbaugh. I'll be back with a follow-up episode immediately. I'm not sure I'm going to break them up for release, but there's been a whole lot of crazy that went on this last week, and the state of Texas may never be the same. So with that, this is According to Callus, and I will see you on the other side.